From 56. On its way. It is off the goalpost. No good. You get the doink.
It was the doink heard round the world, thanks to NBC, and it still might be echoing inside Bill Belichick's head right now. Because Tom Brady and the Buccaneers stole one in the rain, in New England, with Steve Belichick's tongue haunting everyone from the sideline, as Brady won a game that was only about 20 years in the making. So today, our Monday morning quarterback, Alex Smith, is back again to tell us what he saw that we didn't. From Foxborough to LA. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, October 4th. This is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Alex Smith, it is 12:03 a.m. on Monday morning now. I just wanted to make sure that I'm pretty sure this is the case, but when you did return to San Francisco as the Chiefs quarterback in 2014 for your own homecoming game, you did get like an Adele theme song sort of montage thing as well.
She was there in person, so it wasn't a recorded thing. Yeah, no, I wish that, you know, lead-in montage.
Alex Smith played 16 seasons at quarterback in the NFL and is now an analyst for ESPN.
Unique circumstances, obviously, and deservedly. I was looking forward to the night, not necessarily for Adele, but wanted to see the return.
Yeah, man. So what we got instead of a lot of points was tension, it felt like. It paid off in dramatic tension. And so, did you enjoy this thing? Did you enjoy the defensive, messy, rainy slugfest that we got as a quarterback? Is this something that you enjoyed watching?
I enjoyed tonight's game. I feel like we've been a little spoiled with some of these Sunday night games. You know, this one ended with a minute left. You know, so many of these have come down to literally the final seconds on the edge of your seat. So, no, I thought this was a great game. I thought it was a ton of fun to watch the matchup, especially between the Patriots defense and that Bucs offense, that high-powered offense. I thought the elements played a huge role. The rain looked miserable, especially as a quarterback. Nothing worse. Yeah, I thought it was a great game. It was a great football game. Tough fought. And again, I thought Tom doing what he does best. I feel like just kind of being able to stack up all those kind of little advantages and be able to compartmentalize everything, make the plays in the end. Especially in the elements, is a guy that's played a huge chunk of his career in the weather. And he handled it, obviously, really well tonight and came away with the win. So
let's talk about what the Patriots' game plan was, because we know that the Patriots lost. They lost on a missed field goal, a doink, which was one of the loudest sounds I've heard come out of my television in a very long time, Alex.
Right down to the finish. And then the sound.
But in terms of how we got to the point where there was tension like that, where there was doubt like that, the Patriots defense attacking Tom Brady and the Bucs offense, what was their game plan as you saw it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bill Belichick is such a master. He's so unique in the NFL in the sense that every other defense week in and week out, really for the most part, has the same persona. You know, what you see is what you get really week in and week out. Yeah, there's some small wrinkles here and there and maybe some little adjustments that happen. But for the most part, it's the same defense. If you turned on week one, you turned on week 16, it really usually is the structure is the same. When you face the Patriots and Bill Belichick, and this has always kind of been his calling card, is 1 week you could play them and they're a 3-4 defense, and the very next week they're a four down, and then the very next weekend they're playing a bare front. You know, on the back end, it's the same thing. 1 week they could be playing a ton of man. The next week it's a ton of zone. That you never totally know. He keeps everybody on their toes as far as what you have to prepare for. So it can be really difficult in that sense. And then I think tonight what you really saw was the personnel side. You saw Bill really playing around with going small, bunch of DBs on the field, stepping up and still being able to play the run with all those DBs on the field, especially at third down, seven DBs. They were calling it dollar on the TV. Not sure I've ever heard that. I thought that aspect, that is something that Bill is known for as well, that he, you know, even against two tight ends, that he's a guy that'll play nickel against it. Especially if it's some of these tweener guys that they play safety and can play in the box and tackle well. And it worked. They worked tonight. I think they kind of, that combined with the elements really challenged that Bucs passing game. I think you saw, as they tried to push the ball downfield, they some missed opportunities, whether it be, you know, drop balls or unable to connect. But I thought they really kind of gave them some problems.
So Brady finishes 22 of 43, 269 yards, no touchdowns. And I'm just curious, Alex, when you have all of those DBs on the field in formations that you yourself are finding novel and a little strange with terms that you haven't heard before, what are they trying to do there? Just for the people who don't understand exactly what you mean, what are they trying to do? What is Belichick trying to do to Brady by playing that way?
I think really it's a matchup. You know, with all those DBs on the field, he's able to be, he can do more on the back end, disguise a little more. I think really the matchup though in the pass game, I think really challenging the Bucs to run the ball consistently all night. And they couldn't do it. You know, this is a team that wants to stretch the field. They're a vertical passing game. They want to push it downfield, and they tried to tonight, and couldn't connect. And then when they did, they had the big one to Antonio Brown, got called back for the hands of the face. It made the difference, and they challenged those receivers. I thought challenged that offense. And like I said, I do think the elements did play a factor. That's kind of the name of the game. I think when you are a vertical passing game, there's going to be nights where you don't connect on some, but certainly added with the rain. I mean, it made it tough sledding, but I thought, I know that the stat line doesn't look like something we're used to out of Tom and that offense, but it was a tough win, a good win. I think something they're going to feel good about going home.
Yeah, it's weird for me to be asking you to really dissect what Tom Brady did not do well in a night where his team won. But I am fascinated, Alex. Like, the idea that Belichick faces Brady and has all of this background knowledge of him, presumably about tendencies, weaknesses, I don't know, even little things like snap count, maybe, just like what he likes to do. How much do you think that helped tonight?
I think he definitely understands, obviously, Tom's game, strengths and weaknesses, what he does. I think so much has happened. I think Tom is such a different player from when he left there and really from a system standpoint. I look at that Bucs offense, and Tom went from a guy that really was a controlled passing game, throwing the ball a lot underneath, a possession passing game, getting the ball out quickly. Tom has really adapted, I think, to this Bucs system, to Byron Leftwich, to Bruce Arians, where they got these big receivers. They want to push it downfield. And I think he really has adapted his game to that and really, really well. All night they kept firing downfield. I mean, you even saw him into the fourth quarter there, multiple third downs in a row, taking shots to Antonio Brown. I thought the ball he threw there at the end of the game was should have been caught. It was a perfect pass on third and seven, taking the shot. But that's kind of their mindset. They are an aggressive offense, third and seven. If you're going to come up and press them, they're going to take the shot over the top. And they just missed them. They just kept missing them tonight. But I think Tom's game has adapted so much. That going back to that, yeah, I think more so it's Bill trying to shut down this whole offense, right? He's also trying to shut down Mike Evans. He's also trying to shut down Leonard Fournette, Antonio Brown. So I know obviously a lot gets made of Tom and Bill, but obviously I think that the chess game is much bigger than that.
watching how people responded to the play of Mac Jones in this game as it was happening, both in terms of the announcers on NBC, in terms of also the internet. I'm curious where you fall on that spectrum, Alex. I'm curious how impressed you were with Mac Jones on a night where people seemed to really be blown away by the fact that he kept them in this thing.
I thought he was impressive. I thought it did look really good. I thought it was a tough game. I mean, that's a good defense, a really good defensive line. Again, to be playing in downpour throughout most of the game. And then I think what we saw him execute, gosh, I mean, he had 19 completions in a row as a rookie. And I went whole games my rookie year without 19 completions, let alone in a row. And, I mean, I think he tied Tom's record as a Patriot. I mean, that's crazy as a rookie. And I think you really saw him executing that Patriots offense, that what we just talked about, controlled passing game. Possessed the football. He made all the checks all night. You could see him at the line of scrimmage. He handled the offense really well. He was in command. He didn't look like a rookie. He didn't. And he doesn't out there. And I think that is a compliment to him. And I think in true Patriot fashion, right, I think they just, even over the course of the first quarter of the season, these first four games, I think you've seen progress from them. So from Mac Jones as well. So I look forward to kind of seeing where that goes. Can it continue to develop? Is Mac going to continue to kind of take steps and progress? And how far can he get in one season?
Yeah. So look, when you take a step back from this game and you think about what you learned about the Buccaneers, Alex, that you didn't know heading into tonight, what do you take away from a win like this on that level?
I thought it was a good win. Emotional. Tom going back up there. It was huge media coverage. I mean, I know I was looking forward to this all week. It's historic, and obviously a lot of drama around it. You're on the road, like all the things we said, weather, tough place to play. I think to go get a win, it's a good win. I think it's something they should feel good about. They're not all going to be pretty. And this is sometimes a team I think that's accustomed to playing in primo conditions and throwing the ball all around the yard. And I think to kind of go get a muddy win is something good to have in your belt. And like I said, I think they'll be feeling good about it, especially off the heels of the loss last week.
So speaking of X's, Alex, I want to turn to what we saw in Philadelphia, because the Chiefs beat the Eagles 42-30. Andy Reid, your former coach, became the first coach to ever win 100 games with two different teams. He did it, of course, against the team that he won 100 games with outside of the Chiefs, the Eagles. So all of that is very impressive, but I wanted to focus in on one of the touchdowns Patrick Mahomes threw in particular. And I say throw almost in scare quotes because he underhanded this. He's like, he cornholed it almost into the end zone. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah.
What were you thinking when you watched that particular play?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring this up, because it's, you know, it's very similar to the Colts play when we talked about Carson Wentz throwing the interception on the goal line a couple weeks ago. And almost the shovel pass. Yep.
Yeah, the shovel pass that everybody made fun of Carson Wentz for. Yes.
It looks like speed option to the right, and you read the defensive end and you shovel it. And every offense, I think, in the NFL runs a form of it. And so what we saw in the Chiefs play, which was a ton of fun to see, is they motioned down Kelce, which obviously he's a guy that commands a lot of respect and attention from the defensive side of the ball. And instead of shoveling it to him, they have him scream across the backside of the line of scrimmage and into the flat. And he pulls two defenders out of there. Meanwhile, Patrick, you know, does a little dummy fake in the backfield with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And he ends up getting in phase and becoming this little pitch man back behind the ball. And Patrick, anytime he's going to his right and shoveling, he doesn't want to shovel it with his left hand. So he throws this little underhand toss with his right and hit Clyde Edwards-Helaire right in the gut, and he punched it in. But for me, this all comes back. My thought process is, and I get asked this a lot about Patrick, because obviously Pat has a baseball background. His dad was a longtime MLB pitcher. Pat has a cannon for an arm, right? And everybody always assumes that I think he was a pitcher. And for me, if you ever watch Pat's style of play, Pat plays like a shortstop. Like, that's what he grew up playing. And for me, the underhand flip is just like, you know, interior, you know, shortstop, second baseman turning two, flipping it to each other. That's how Pat plays, you know, and that's kind of been his background, that kind of freedom and on the run, you know, cross body throws. It all kind of comes from that. And so that's, I think that's his little baseball background flair kind of coming up to the surface.
So what you're telling me is that that kind of a play is something that you have come to anticipate from him. Like, I know you played with him, you've seen him up close and personal, of course, but you know this about him. He can do stuff like that. This is nothing new to you.
Yeah, he does it, and he always does it that direction. He threw another shovel pass touchdown in this game, believe it or not, but they went the other way, and he shoveled it normally with his right hand. This is a thing going to his right. He loves the little underhand flip, and it's sweet. I think it's awesome. I think it's probably more accurate than a lot of us trying to shovel with our left hand. I know I was always uncomfortable with it, and Patrick makes it look easy. It's something he's definitely done in the past, and that's, I think, just him being him. He's an instinctive player and incredibly creative, and I think that's what makes him so much fun to watch is that creativity. It's rare on a football field. You know, so often we kind of get that coached out of us, you know, and to see a guy that it's that free flowing on the football field is a rarity. And again, fun to observe.
So the other guy I ask you about pretty much every week now, Alex, the guy who also played baseball, the guy who now might be the quarterback of the team with the most impressive resume so far, at least during this season, is Kyler Murray, who is obviously the guy who just rolled over the Rams 37-20 in LA. And he had one of his best days from the pocket, completing 75% of his passes. Alex, what is Kyler Murray seeing right now that's allowing him to do this, do you think?
The crazy thing is 75% is down for him. The last 2 weeks, he's been over 80% completion. I mean, he has been on an absolute terror this season. And I think you said it. For me, he's been a guy that we've seen this. We've seen wow plays. We have seen wow games from him that he has had this crazy high ceiling of ability, but hasn't had the consistency. You know, the first half of last season, he certainly, I think, put together a great 8-game stretch, but kind of fell off, obviously, especially towards the end of the season. But I mean, through 4 games here, I mean, he is literally completing the ball at a crazy high rate. You throw that in with still making these spectacular plays. I think it does show, I mean, the advantage of being in a system for multiple years. I think I see him, how quick he is processing, how fast he's making decisions back there. And then I think you combine that with his natural talents, and it's a scary thought right now watching this. I mean, a guy that can make these kind of runs and throws, and then he can also just sit in there and throw at a 75% clip. It's pretty scary to think. It's fun. I mean, certainly I think today to go toe-to-toe with Matthew Stafford, the two guys that we were talking about is probably maybe the front runners in the MVP conversation, and clearly outshined him. It wasn't even close watching it. So good for him. He's a special player, and it's fun to watch him, I think, take it to this next level.
So the other unbeaten team, Alex, that suffered a loss that I want to ask you about here is the Broncos. And they lost to another impressive team, the Ravens. And the thing about this game that I want your take on here is the fact that John Harbaugh calls this quarterback sweep with Lamar Jackson for 5 yards. The game is already over. They won. They've won the game. The clock is expiring. And they do it because the Ravens wanted to tie this record for consecutive games with 100 yards rushing as a team. When you saw that unfold for that reason, what did you think?
I mean, I wasn't surprised. I mean, if anybody was going to say a team was going to do this or a head coach was going to do something like this, you would have said the Ravens. I mean, this is a team that's won like 400 preseason games in a row. You know, like they care about these things that. You know, they don't really matter. I think this one was a little different than the preseason thing. I get it. These guys have worked really hard. It is a streak that they have going. I think that the run game is something that they do hang their hat on as a team and certainly as an offense. It's a big part of their identity. And so I do think going and getting it obviously was it trivial and unnecessary. Absolutely. But It one play, they went and got it. I mean, obviously they put their quarterback at some risk, but he didn't take a hit. And then they kept their.
But hold on, Alex, because I mean, when you compare it to the preseason and you use adjectives like trivial, I can sense that if you were Drew Locke, the opposing quarterback here, you may not have loved this. you may not have loved the gesture at the very end here, tacking that up.
I don't know if it was so much the showing up as just if you get it in the natural play of the game, you get it. If you don't, you don't. Now, certainly, they were still seconds on the clock and they chose to go get it. So, I mean, that's their decision and prerogative. I think it had more to go to, again, going to their identity. This is something they take a lot of pride in on that side of the ball, being able to run the football, and they have this streak going and they kept it alive. It does not surprise me. And I think it doesn't surprise a lot of people in NFL circles that they chose to go do this because they've done it before. So.
All right, Alex, after the break, I want to talk about what might be the biggest win of the whole weekend, because that win was won by the New York Jets.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Alex, the New York Jets got their very first win of the season. They beat the Titans, which I certainly did not see happening. And Zach Wilson, therefore, got his first big win under center. And we looked this up, Alex, and it took kind of a while for you to get your first win as a starter in your rookie year.
Yeah, yes, it did.
I mean, we're talking week 16 in 2005 against the St. Louis Rams. Maybe this all jogs your memory a bit in the way that I cruelly ask your memory to be jogged.
Was that my first win? I was actually going to, I didn't know who the first win was. I thought it was the next week, maybe versus Houston, but I know that was my first touchdown pass. I actually threw it week 17, which, God, that's embarrassing. But was that the first
yes,
win?
No,
was that
was,
the first win? Week 16.
Week 16. That's, you've graded your own. You've graded yourself more harshly than reality has asked you to. But I ask all of this, Alex, to ask, what does this sort of a thing, this sort of an event do for a rookie quarterback? What does it mean, do you think, for Zach Wilson and the Jets?
Huge for a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach. I mean, more importantly, I mean, this is obviously Robert Saleh going in there and trying to change the culture and build something. And to go get a win against a good football team, man, to go beat the Titans and take it into overtime and to make the plays in overtime. I thought a couple of Zach's best throws were in overtime, which was really, I thought, a great sight, you know, standing in there poised in a big situation and he didn't blink and made a couple big third down throws. So, I think to beat a team as good as that and to have that under your belt and to move forward, I mean, it's a big step. It is a big step. I mean, losing sucks, Pablo. And certainly I think when you go down bad streaks like this and everybody's been talking about you and that's all you've been hearing, to go get a big win and get everybody off your back, I think it's a big step. And I think that's what young teams need. It's what young quarterbacks need. It's what young head coaches need, I think, to kind of reinforce what they've been doing. I thought Zach took a big step, especially from the last couple of weeks watching him. He looked good today. He had made a couple big plays on the run, escaping the pocket. But I was most impressed in the fourth quarter, him standing in there in overtime, throwing the ball from the pocket. Really looked like he was in command and confident, and it was nice to see. So
it seems important, Alex, that Zach Wilson is taking big steps on a day when Sam Darnold continues to take big steps into the end zone to the point where he is now leading the NFL in rushing touchdowns, which I don't think there's a soul on this planet or any other that had that. But what are you seeing out of Darnold at this point that explains this sort of an evolution where he has 300 yards, two passing touchdowns, and then the two rushing touchdowns in a loss to the Cowboys today?
Yeah, Sam continues to play great. I had no idea that a guy would have five rushing touchdowns in four games and be leading the NFL in that category. But he's a fantastic athlete. I mean, I think we've seen signs of that, his ability to be able to run around and make plays in the past. And it's fun to see him, I think, in command and them letting him do it. You know, to see, I think, the creativity from Joe Brady. Both of them designed runs in the red zone and executed perfectly by that offense and Sam. So really, really cool to see. But I think it's nice, like, watching him. I feel like he's not pressing, which I think we all saw him do as a young quarterback, to press to make the play. I got the sense watching him, you know, his first few years that, yeah, like, he was out there, like, he had to go do it. He had to go make the play, and he really pushed it and forced it. And I think anytime you're in that kind of a mindset out there with the ball in your hands, eventually it's going to get you. So I just kind of, I feel like he's just executing the offense, you know, he's playing within himself. And he's a fantastic freak athlete. And I think that starts to shine, you know, and he doesn't force the ball. He's not making mistakes. He took five sacks today, but, like, better than turning the ball over. I mean, I thought he was very composed back there, decisive, running that offense. I think he's got good players around him. DJ Moore is, I thought, had a crazy game today. Really, really talented. It was fun to see, with obviously Christian McCaffrey out, they even moved him into the backfield a couple times today. And it worked out really well. So, it's good to see Sam in a good place with good people around him, good coaching. I think, obviously, as quarterbacks, you know, we're reflections of the people around us, more than we like to admit, I think, at times. And I think Sam's in a good place. It's good to see. I think certainly he's been taking his lumps as a young player and playing really, really well now. Fun to watch. But unfortunately, yeah, he ran into a buzzsaw today. The Dallas Cowboys are rolling. And I mean, maybe the best offense in football at this point.
Well, let's talk about that offense, Alex, and what Dak Prescott is reflecting, because the system that he's running, which has led him to not complete also 75% of his passes through four games, a crazy, crazy percentage. I mean, he throws four touchdowns against the Panthers defense, one of the best defenses in the league this season, at least. What are you seeing there?
Man, I mean, I think they're the real deal on offense. I don't think that's an overstatement to say maybe they're the most dynamic offense in football right now. This was a Panthers defense that was on fire. I mean, statistically, top five defense in the NFL. It was the number one rush defense, and the Cowboys ran for 250 on them. I mean, it was impressive to watch. I think that the hard part of watching the Cowboys is, like, pick your poison. I mean, when they're playing like this, the O-line's playing great. They got two elite running backs. Obviously, I think Dak's an elite player in this league and finally getting that kind of credit and appreciation that he deserves. And then you look on the outside and they've got three, four receivers that can all go get it, can go play. A couple of them that are crazy talented. And I mean, he threw four touchdowns today. No sweat. All of them went to different players.
Prescott in the gun, looking right, pumps, throws it down, caught by Wilson at the five, spin move, free, strolling in, walking the dog, opening the gate, defense, touchdown, Cedric Wilson.
I mean, I think when they hung 36 up on the Panthers with no sweat, and I mean, I think look out. I think the question is going to be, can they keep doing this week in and week out? You know, I think that's kind of been also their downfall in the past is they have these ups and downs, and they haven't been able to keep that kind of consistency. But they look dialed in right now. Dak looks crazy focused coming off of last year, and I don't see much let up. I think they figured out who they are. And I think they got it oiled up right now.
Yeah. I mean, I want to ask about the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys, Kellen Moore, Alex, because when we talk about consistency and the people around you that end up as a quarterback being a part of your identity, I mean, you had seven different offensive coordinators in your first 6 years in the league, which is crazy to say out loud. Dak seems to be in a groove with Kellen Moore right now. Just tell me about how important that relationship can be.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, anytime I think you want to get to an advanced level of football, and an advanced level of quarterbacking. I mean, if you're constantly learning new offense or learning new scheme or learning new language and verbiage, you're really always staying in, like, that offensive 101 state, right? Because you can never get to the next course. You can never get to the next year. And to see Dak obviously there with Kellen, you know, they do a lot at the line of scrimmage. They do a ton of multiple calls. They do a lot of check with knees. A lot of it predicated on the box count and how many safeties are deep. And I think you can just see how comfortable Dak is executing it at the line of scrimmage. He's constantly getting them into the right play, into the right look. They're always getting that slight advantage, you know, the best play scenario. And it's I think he looks right at home again. Yeah. Anytime you're completing the ball at a mark like 75%, obviously with the players they have. So it's scary to look at right now, especially the way that defense is playing on the other side of the ball as well. I think really kind of complementing the firepower that offense has.
So elsewhere in that division, Alex, I look at the weapons that used to be your weapons. I look at your old team, the Washington football team. They come back against Atlanta. They score 21 in the second half. Terry McLaurin catches 2 touchdowns, 123 yards. J.D. McKissic, your old back. I mean, these are your guys, right? He supermans the game-winning touchdown.
They're going to throw here. Heinicke's got time. Now slides to his left. Looks at the 35. Back across the middle of the field. And McKissic at the 30. Turns to the 25. Has the corner of the 20. 15, 10, 5. Dives for the end zone.
What is it like for you to watch this team play a game like this?
I was so jacked for them to get a win. This was I hate saying that it was like a must win or a big game. I mean, they're all big games, but like this was a big win for them. I mean, looking at the schedule and where they were at, they needed to get this win today. And so pumped to see Taylor continuing to play well. This is a guy that's put in so much time and hasn't had a consistent opportunity, and it's finally here. And it's so good to see him making the most of it. J.D.
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke, you know, is who we're talking about, by the way.
Yes,
Taylor Heinicke,
sorry,
the quarterback of his team.
I apologize.
No, but Alex, people are still getting to meet him because this is the guy who was not the starter. Then Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt, and here he comes, and he looks like a guy who can absolutely cause nightmares for another team on the ground and through the air.
Yeah, he can get it. He is talented. He is really, really talented, and I think he put that on display today. Terry is, I think, if you were – you know, playing a lot of places, he'd be a household name. He's an elite player outside. And when he turns it up, he's got a whole nother gear of competitiveness. And that came out today, the one ball that Taylor threw up in the back of the end zone. And Terry just outfought two guys and went up and got it. And then J.D. McKissic, you play a long time and you kind of, there's guys you remember off every team and you kind of have like all time teammates, you know, and JD's on that team of mine. He is an all-time teammate, a special person, just loves ball, comes to work every day, like loves his teammates and would do anything for him. And he's crazy talented. And to see that touchdown today, I don't know if people haven't seen it, go check it out, because he full Superman's.
Unbelievable.
At the goal line for the winner and take two dudes hitting them. And I couldn't stop grinning when I saw it. I know he was going to be complaining about being sore the next day. I could hear it already. Jack, for those guys, like I said, it was a big win for them. They needed it, and hopefully it'll kind of kickstart them going.
How do you watch a game like that?
Yeah. Well, it's hard now that I'm trying to watch every game, Pablo. So it's really, really difficult to watch when there's seven games going on at one time.
That's right.
I'm still picking up how this goes down and trying to perfect that. I'm scrambling between games and trying to keep up with it, monitor all of them, and you know. It's fun.
So let me ask you the question that I don't think would have been fathomable when you were on this team. Did you feel bad at all for the Falcons in this, just the way that this happens?
God, no. No way, Pablo. No, absolutely not. You don't feel bad for him. No, I do. I know, you know, Matt Ryan, pretty decent. And he's a guy that I think really, really highly of. He's set a lot of records. And when you look at like the start of a career,
sure,
the first, you know, 10 years of a career, I mean, he's played at a crazy high level. And, so I think to be a part of a rebuild and see him there, obviously going through that, I wish him well. But no, I don't feel bad for him again. Nope.
Alex Smith, you've already mastered that one specific part of NFL spectatorship. not caring at all how badly Falcons fans feel when they choke away a game once again.
Pablo, ton of fun again, man.
Thanks for joining us, dude. Appreciate you staying up late.
Thanks.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.